s'il vous plaît, on va commencer.
We're starting, if you please.
Please, take your seat. S'il vous plaît, bonjour.
Please, good morning, everyone.
Bonjour à tous.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to this session that's dedicated to the five NGOs that AFRILO has invited over for the ICAN Week, for ICAN 55. At this point, I would like to introduce to you Pierre Danginoux, the Vice President for Global Stakeholder Engagement for Africa. He's the Vice President in charge of our strategy, and Fad Batanye, who's the Manager of Global Stakeholder Engagement for Middle East. So you have one here for Africa, that's Pierre, and Mr. Fad is going to talk to us about the Global Stakeholder Engagement in Middle East. I'm not going to take any longer, and so without a further ado, I'm going to give the floor to Pierre Danginoux, thanking him for being here at this time of the morning to talk to us about ICAN's strategy. Thank you, Pierre. You have the floor. 2 minutes. 15 each.
Pierre Danginoux, VP Stakeholder Engagement, taking care of Africa. And happy to be here, and also understand this is a kind of new initiative by the LAC, which I really am happy with. It's quite important to have newcomers and also to have new members, so very thankful for this. I'm going to switch to French now. Sorry about that. It's okay.
So thank you for being here. I'm going to talk to you about the African strategy. And I'll start by congratulating ourselves for this initiative that's been put together. I would like to congratulate you for having invited NGOs so that they get to know ICAN and so that they can participate at ICAN as well. So ICAN decided to deal specifically with regional problems, and that's what led us a bit over 3 years ago to draft a strategy for each region. So for the African region, we developed a strategy which you can check online, which is available. And other regions followed in our footsteps. So after us, Latin America and Middle East. And then Europe started to work as well. Europe's trying to define a strategy right now. Now, what's the need for a strategy? Well, in the case of Africa, it was an idea that came from ICAN CEO. Shortly after going into service, he noticed that African countries weren't well represented within ICAN, that they didn't participate as necessary. And he also discovered in our archives that back in Dakar, the African ministers in 2011, that was, I think, had met the ICAN board. And they had explained a number of issues that they encountered in their region, among which the African participation, the African engagement at ICAN. And so back in the day, they asked the ministers how they wanted ICAN to help them. And so in the case of all the discussions we had with the community, we managed to define a strategy that's based on two main points. So on the one hand, one of our main focuses is the engagement of African stakeholders, but also the presence of ICAN in Africa. If you know what our situation is, for instance, we started working 3 years ago, and back in the day, we went to the countries, and every time we started talking to people about ICAN, they all say they didn't know what it was. So we had to talk to people and show them what the ITU did, what ICANN did, because they knew what the ITU was, but they didn't know ICANN. And then what was important also about the strategy was to try and show them how Africa could be a stakeholder in the internet industry. And I think everyone needs to understand that. As I always say, it's not merely about coming to an ICANN meeting and getting engaged. At ICANN, there's a lot going on. And we have to stay tuned. As I say today in ICANN, over 99% of our profits come from the sale of domains. That's important. So when ICANN launched its project of having new domain names, they realized that Africa was underrepresented. As you know, there's 1,930 applications for new domain names, out of which only 17 came from Africa, and they all came from South Africa. So none of the 54 African countries felt the need to apply for domain names. So it's under either they were poorly informed or else they couldn't access the program for different reasons, of course. Maybe it was too expensive because it all has to be paid for, of course. But it wasn't enough of a reason for us because ICANN had also set up a small fund to help those who needed aid. And yet people didn't use that fund. So that meant we had a lot of work to do in order to raise awareness among African countries and to show them why it was important to have domain names and also to show that Africa had to participate further. They had to get further engaged. People should have personal accounts. It's very well to have a Hotmail account or a Gmail account, but do you think it is normal that 15 or 20 years later, people have they have their own ccTLDs, their own domain names that aren't used? There's 10 million inhabitants per country, and none of them use the local domain name. That's not normal. There's about 500,000 domain names registered in Africa, and roughly 80% of those come from South Africa. So in South Africa, there's about 400,000 registrations. If you take out Egypt and Morocco, and the rest of Africa has nothing. So that's where we have to work. That's why we thought we should try and foster the environment in Africa so that people could get engaged and become interested in our strategy. So our strategy, like I was saying, had a number of strategic objectives, out of which the main was to get Africa to participate at ICANN, to get engaged. Because that's what ICANN was working on, to develop policies that are adequate and specific to each of the specific resources. As you know, Africa is the only continent today where we still use IPv4. In the rest of the countries, they're already using IPv6. But Africa hasn't even used 80% of the pools that they've been allotted. That is to say, AFRINIC, the African registry that assigns IP addresses, has plenty of IPv4 pools, whereas the rest of the continents have no more pools in the IPv4 version. So that either means that in Africa they're not used enough or else people don't understand why they have to upgrade. So people don't really use IP addresses, but they still have those resources available. So we have to think how we can get them interested and how we can get them to use IPv6. That's our purpose. So our strategy was to create several projects in order to achieve our objectives. So we have lots of projects out of which about a dozen are key objectives. For ICANN, it's not about changing Africa. We don't want to transform Africa. We just want to help this movement, this development in Africa. So we understood that, for instance, we need to further security in African countries in terms of DNS. Those of you who know Africa know that there are countries that are blacklisted because there's activities that aren't clear in the sphere of domain names. As you know, the weaknesses of a network lie in its extremities. And since Africa is at the fringes of the internet, when you look at the environment as a whole, when you look at the internet ecosystem, so if you don't further security in Africa, you'll have a danger, a risk to DNS. So we've been to 15 countries in order to train people and to give them the DNSSEC technology, which would allow them to sign the root file and to have a secure destination. That's all very well, because that's implied we have 6 more African countries who have signed into the root zone file, and it is now a secure destination. For those of you who participated at the WISIS, you know that people are always surprised in knowing that root servers are, for the most part, located in North America, Europe, and Asia. So how can we go about that? We can't have root zone servers in every country. And for historic reasons, the U.S. has always had the first servers. And so we started a program that allows us to have copies of the root servers that exist elsewhere. Today, we have about 12 African countries that host copies of the root zone. So Morocco, for instance, now has a copy of the L root zone. But we also understood we needed to work with the entrepreneurship in Africa. How can we get them interested? How can we get the African youth to join our initiatives? Well, Africans soon see the domain name management as a technical aspect, but there's more than that to it. It is an advantage for the business plan that the different countries can have. There's a marketing plan that surrounds the DNS. We know we have a problem with statistics in Africa. We're not really sure of the values that we have, of the statistics we have. Today, we have 8 ICANN accredited registries, but we had merely 4 3 years ago. But in fact, it's not about registries or registrars. What's important is the number of registrars at the national level. How can we have more domain name registrars per country? So far, it's been managed as a resource that wasn't open to everyone, and we need to get it to be more open for everyone. That's why we signed an MOU with Egypt, which is a country that hosts the African DNS entrepreneurship. I'm sure Fad is going to explain that further. So our main goal is to help people, and we put together a number of workshops on marketing specifically. I don't want to monopolize the mic here. If you have questions, I can give you more details. But summing up, there's other programs, such as the one that is my favorite, which is the exchange program. If you want to get people interested, you have to show them what your greatest successes are. So we've started to establish collaborations and partnerships at the international level. We have the IP Mirror program with Singapore, for instance, where we send people to get trained over there. And we've made an alliance with affiliates in Canada. And at the African level, we've also started to work on cooperation programs with Tunisia to see how they've organized their experience, and we've had this exchange programs. We have South Africa lined up next, and we'll go on with the rest of Africa, but that's just to give you an idea of what we're trying to do. Now, to tell you what we expect of you, and this is a message for the newcomers, the NGOs who have just joined us, let me tell you that engagement and ICANN is important. Before becoming a staff member at ICANN, I was also a stakeholder. And so I used to work on the structure of At Large. I was one of the 12 people who started the committee to work on what at large could be for ICANN. So I was there from the very beginning, and I think one of the key words at ICANN is volunteering. And I'd really want to congratulate at large for that. You truly embody this will to contribute as volunteers, and that is very important, and I know how hard it is. When I see the work you do, I tell myself that's impossible. We should clone these people so that everyone can contribute to the internet. It's not just about what you get. It's about getting engaged, and it's that participation that counts. It's countless hours that you dedicate to the work you do. I met an African minister yesterday who attended GAC meetings, and he was telling me, it's crazy the work you do. You get pages and pages of documents, and you tell people to do them. And I don't even get the time to read it. I don't know how you do. And he said, you do it? And I said, no, it's not me. It's difficult, but we have a number of people working with us. There's pioneers like Alan, Cheryl, Olivier. They're wonderful people. And they're wonderful volunteers. And I think that's what it's all about. So I'm going to stop here. And if you have questions, I'm ready to answer them. As he's speaking, thank you, Pierre. Thank you for the update on the African situation. As you say, there's a lot to be done. And I'm now going to give the floor to Fahd, who is the Vice President of Global Stakeholder Engagement in the Middle East Asia and in the Middle Eastern region. As you know, there's 3 or 4 NGOs here coming from Arabic countries. So they're in the Middle East. You have the floor.
Okay, merci beaucoup, Aziz.
Fahd speaking. Merci, Aziz.
Fahd, you may speak Arabic if you want. We have the translation.
I'll just speak in English I think it'll be easier for everybody, even though the translators are doing a great job, and thank you so much. So my name is Fahd Bataina. I work as a manager for global stakeholder engagement covering the Middle East. And just to define to you all what the Middle East is, the Middle East consists actually of the 22 Arab countries, in addition to Turkey, Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Of course, when it comes to the Arab countries that are located in North Africa, we work very closely with Pierre and his team to ensure that we are on the same track in terms of what we do there and what's happening there and etc. So in the footsteps of the African strategy, the Middle East was actually, I think, the second region that went ahead with a regional strategy. And the initial seed of actually planting that Middle East strategy started at the inaugural Arab IGF in October 2012, where ICANN kind of tested the waters and see if the region really needed a strategy. And the stakeholders ICANN spoke to at that time felt that, yes, there is a need for a regional strategy, and let's try to engage more with ICANN. And, of course, when I'm talking in a way that I'm saying ICANN, because actually I wasn't staff at that time. I was a community member. And I was one of those lucky people who were actually asked this question, whether we need a strategy or not. So from December 2012, excuse me. So from December 2012 all the way to June 30th, we developed a strategy as a community. We shared it with the community for public feedback. We had two face-to-face meetings. One was in March in Dubai, and the other was in April in Beijing during the ICANN Beijing meeting. And we came out with a strategy. The mandate of the strategy was for 3 years. And we agreed as a strategy working group that we will implement the strategy around 3 implementation plans, or let's say 3 annual implementation plans. And each implementation plan would cover one full ICANN fiscal year. And for those of you who don't know what ICANN's fiscal year is, it starts on July 1st and ends on June 30th the next year. Today, we are in the third and final year of the regional strategy. We are currently implementing the EA3 implementation plan. And of course, it was defined within the strategy working group that what will we do as ICANN staff in each and every year in terms of activities and sub-activities. So some of the things that came out actually of the strategy, and which is becoming business as usual for us as ICANN staff in the region. We have an annual Middle East DNS Forum, similar to the footsteps of the Africa DNS Forum. So we had our first edition in Dubai in 2014, second edition in Jordan in 2015, and this year it's actually going to take place in Tunisia in 2016. Anybody interested in joining us at the DNS Forum, you're more than welcome. We'll be sharing more information probably after this ICANN meeting, once I have some time to actually think better and focus more on that event. We have a school on internet governance, and this is also another annual event. One interesting thing that happened with our regional school on internet governance is that we are receiving requests to actually have these schools at a national level. So we helped Pakistan last year in having a school on internet governance at the national level. One of the best news I received on what's happening in Pakistan is that they are currently working on the second edition of the school. And what makes me even more happy is that they didn't consult us as ICANN staff. So they are working on it alone. And that's what we want. We are ready to go in, help communities, but then we want them at the end of the day to actually take these initiatives for themselves, shepherd it, and just keep it as an annual event. We are helping many entities within the region on having national IGFs. NOGs, which are network operators groups, are not our mandate, but we work with RIPE-NCC, with AFRINIC, and APNIC to actually encourage local communities to have NOGs at the national level. So within the Middle East, we have a Middle East Network Operators Group, which ICANN actually supports and has been supporting since its inception in 2007. We are encouraging people to actually go at the national level. We also have within the region an Arab IGF at the regional level. And I understand that there is a North Africa IGF going to take, it's in the initial planning phases. But then again, we are also encouraging countries to have national IGFs. One of the most exciting projects we have within our region is the Task Force on Arabic Script IDNs. So just to define what a script and what a language is a language. A script is a group of languages that use the same letters, let's say, or the same kind of... I don't want to go too technical from a linguistic perspective. So, for example, Arabic, Urdu, and Farsi are three different languages that fall under the Arabic script. So this task force is actually mandated with tackling issues related to Arabic script so that when we write IDNs, we can actually write it using any of these keyboards. And these guys are doing a lot of heavyweight lifting. Here in Marrakesh, the group is meeting for the fourth time. In fact, the second day of their fourth meeting will be starting at 9 a.m. today. It's a closed meeting, of course. And just last week, it was announced that this group actually had submitted what we call at ICANN LGR1 to ICANN, and that was the first group. Those guys are doing a lot of heavy lifting when it comes to IDNs, and we are really proud to actually support that group. Another very interesting project that came later on, which kick-started in July 2014, was the DNS Entrepreneurship Center, which Pierre mentioned a while ago. And the center really is there to cover both the Middle East, or let's say to serve the Middle East and Africa. When we started the center, the mandate was to cover two tracks. One is a technical track, and the other is a business track. Recently, we received a request to have a legal track, and we actually worked with some legal experts to actually kickstart that track. We have so far trained more than 175 folks from both the Middle East and Africa. We have more training in the pipeline. In the initial days, the idea was to how to market this platform to regional stakeholders. One of the good things and one of the things that we are really proud of is that actually our regional stakeholders are coming to us and asking us for training. And this is what we envisioned from day one. It's not that we go and push training programs to our stakeholders. We want our stakeholders to come to us, speak to us, and tell us what are their needs. One sub-track within the center is a train the trainer, where we actually want to build local capacities to be future trainers. So we don't want the regional community to depend on ICANN, on NSRC, on the regional internet registries. We want them to have their local capacities, local competencies, and we want them to train their local communities. So that's important for us. LRoute instances, we are trying very hard to have LRoute instances and distribute them amongst the geographies. So really for us, it's not about having 10 LRoute instances within the same city. For us, we want to see these root server instances distributed in every country and in every geographic region possible, because there is some kind of technical implications. I mean, there are some technical requirements to have actually these servers distributed in a healthy manner. So it makes no sense to actually delegate 3 root servers in a city that has an internet population of 100,000. It makes no sense, really, from a technical perspective. We have a couple of tracks that were not included within the regional strategy, and I'll skim through them really quickly. So we are focusing more on business engagement, and we have an entire team at ICANN dedicated to business engagement. Recently, ICANN started a group on civil society and NGO engagement, and we have been working very closely with them to actually better engage with the community. Of course, when it comes to civil society in this part of the world, things are a little bit difficult, and even when it comes to NGOs, the definition of NGOs in this part of the world is a little bit different than when you actually go to the West. A third track is, what's the third track? Sorry about that. So yeah, I can't recall what I wanted to say on the third track. My final points is that we have a session tomorrow from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Palmerai room, which is right opposite to this room. Which is an update on the Middle East strategy and the way forward. So the Middle East strategy mandate ends on 30th June, and what we want to do is that, one, we want to update the community on what we have been doing. Number two, we want to seek from the community what's the way forward. We invite you all to come and attend that session and interact. Thank you so much. I still have 5 seconds.
Merci, Fahd.
Thank you, Fahd. And it's precisely regarding the implementation of servers that I would like to let you know that the Airflow African joint meeting that we will have on Tuesday at 11 is going to start with the signature of a convention between Afrinic and the Moroccan regulator in order to implement the first server in Morocco. I am now going to give the floor to Alan Greenberg, and I'm going to ask you to take a bit less time so that we can give participants the possibility of asking questions as usual.
Thank you very much, Aziz. I was asked to speak here on ALAC and the importance of AFRALO. And I can speak on ALAC a fair amount. I suspect I should be asking you about the importance of AFRALO, although based on our previous two speakers, I think you're starting to get a little bit of a gist of feeling of what ICANN, and hopefully you'll understand how AFRALO interacts with ICANN and the importance of it. I think there's interesting things going on. I'll talk a little bit about myself and why maybe it's not that inappropriate for me to talk about this. First of all, ALAC. You've been sitting in the room yesterday, some of you, with ALAC. ALAC is a 15-person group. We are essentially the voice of users within ICANN. So if you look around ICANN, you go to some of the other meetings in the week that's coming, you'll see an awful lot of representatives of the various business aspects of ICANN, business aspects of the internet, rather. You'll see the registries, the registrars, internet service providers, companies that are providing all sorts of infrastructure or that are using the internet in big business. You don't see an awful lot of the, whatever it is now, 4 billion plus users represented here. And that's the job that is given to us. And we try to represent the interests of users. We do that through a pretty complex structure. And you may have seen a picture. I'm not going to use any slides. The ALAC is the voice, essentially, that can take action within ICANN. we're driven, we're supported by the five relos, one for each region, and the relos themselves are composed of both ALSs, the at-large structures, the people on the ground in various cities and countries who can be our arms, our legs, and hopefully our minds, and tell us what is important in those areas. And it's a messy structure, but anything which is going to funnel essentially the four or five billion users, 6 billion soon, down to a 15-person group is going to be messy. There's no way to do it easily. And that essentially is our job. AFRALO is one of the more interesting ALSs, one of the more interesting RALOs, because clearly from the kinds of things that Pierre was saying, and you know yourself, you started off in a much more disadvantaged role than anyone else. Now, I'll give you a tiny bit of my history. I've been working supporting technology in the developing world and Africa in particular for about 20 years. I think Pierre I've known for about 20 years. Aziz I've known for about 20 years. I wish I had known Tijani for 20 years. He's one of those people that, to use the word that Pierre used, that we'd like to clone. The way that we're changing the world is by individuals working. It takes people actually doing things, not just sitting around tables and talking, but doing things. And AFRALO, I believe, is one of the parts of ICANN and at large that is helping to change the picture of technology in Africa. And so the importance of AFRALO, I don't know. You know, if it didn't exist, the world would keep on going. If ICANN didn't exist, the world would keep on going. But because of the work that ICANN is doing in Africa, partially through GSE, through stakeholder engagement, which is Pierre's area, partially through AFRALO, I think we're making a big difference. Certainly, if I look at the changes in some of the countries that I'm familiar with and have worked in, and look at differences between the year 2000 or 1995 and now, it's amazing. I mean, in 95, we were starting to train people how to build the most rudimentary networks in Africa. The networks aren't rudimentary anymore. They're not as wideband as fast as we want them to be. We have a long way to go. There's a lot of money going to have to be spent. But the difference is quite remarkable. And I believe strongly that AFRALO, the people who are involved in AFRALO, are really key to making sure that the changes that we see reach the people. And certainly NGOs are a key part in many countries, because they straddle the difference between what governments do, looking at the country as a whole, and what individual sectors and small groups within the country can do. And I find it quite amazing. So I'm not going to speak a lot more. I was told I had 10 minutes. And then I had 4 minutes, and now I seem to have 4.5 minutes left. So I'm a little bit confused, but I'm not going to speak for a lot more. I think the work that's going on is quite amazing, and for those of you who are involved, thank you. For those of you who are not yet involved, stick around. We can do some interesting things together. And it's interesting, the importance of AFRALO can be read two different ways. Is it the importance to ALAC, the importance to ICANN, or the importance of AFRALO on the ground in Africa? And I think both of those are important. And it's interesting, as the most disadvantaged of the RALOs in terms of the level of technology on the ground, AFRALO in many cases does more than the other four in trying to be active and stay active and be involved in the current, whatever the current activities are within ICANN and the world. So I'm proud to be associated with this group, and keep on doing it. And those of you who are here just as visitors, stay. Thank you.
Bonjour tout le monde, je suis Olivier Crépin-Leblanc.
Hi everyone, my name is Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. Shall we go on? Yeah, no, just let me comment on what Alan just said. It is very important for the work we do at ALAC. That's it. Great. Because he said some things that were very true, and he spoke of the work we do, whether as ALAC members or within Afralo. So I would like to thank Tijani deeply, because it's him who's been working on getting the NGOs here. And why did we want to get the NGOs here? Well, because we want to have new human resources join us, because right now it's true that we're very few people, and we work as volunteers, and it's become a passion to me, to Tijani, to the people who work here with us at the AFLA level. And I would like to thank Shen, who's been recruited very little time ago, and he works a lot for AFLO. And we're forced to work a lot because, like we said, Africa is late at the technological level, so we're forced to make more of an effort. Thank you. Now, Olivier, you have the floor. I can go now? Thank you, Aziz. And I'm sorry I jumped in. My name is Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. I'm now the chair of EURALO, which is a European Regional At-Large Organization. But before Ellen, I was also the chair of ALAC. And Africa was always very important to me, because during the 1990s, I worked on putting together a list to check how far the internet network had penetrated the world. And in 93, 94, there was barely any internet in Africa. And within 3-4 years, internet went from zero connection points to the point where we had full internet access in most of the African countries. So to me, that was fascinating, because the speed at which Africa went from zero to not 100%, but 90%, I'd say, within a few years, was something that hadn't happened in the rest of the countries in the world, because they'd taken between 5 and 10 years to get to that point. So it was very interesting. And I think at the level of the African development within ICANN, that's also been the case. A few years ago, the African strategy was saying, well, if you want to come to an ICANN meeting, of course, there's one in Africa every 5. And that's it. Out of 5, 1 happened in Africa, and that was that. And now, thanks to Pierre and his department, and thanks to the fact that he stole a number of human resources from At Large, because there were many At Large members who have now joined his department, and it's a scandal. That's why I say he stole them. He poached them from us. But seriously, Yovi Yatoun, for instance, was a very engaged member of our community, and there's also other people who ended up joining Pierre's team. He stayed with us at the ICANN family, but no longer as an at-large member. He's a staff member now to develop the African strategy. And so I would like to say that within at-large, we have a reservoir of new people joining the organization. We have a pool of people. And when you cannot join ICANN because you're already a registry or a registrar and you need to know what ICANN does, there's many people who have started here in the domain name industry and within the internet ecosystem and all things related to identifiers, not only domain names, but also the regional internet registries and everything related to domain names and IP addresses. And they all start here. At Large is where it all begins. It's where they get to see how it all works. They join us, and then they go on to the GNSO that deals with generic names. And some of them were even taken on by country code operators. Some of them were even engaged by domain name companies. And some of them have their own startups to this day, and they come from time to time and they say, yeah, I remember back when I worked with you, and we feel like, well, you know so much now. It's like you feel they've graduated. So that's a pleasure to us. And I think the at-large community is welcoming. I hope it is in any event. So if it's not, I would like to hear you and to know what can be improved. But we try to make it as easy as possible for everyone to join us by reducing the number of acronyms we use. I know that in other rooms at this venue, it's a bit hard to follow sometimes, you'll see. But I don't know how many of you have joined us here today for the first time. I'll say it's a bit special. It's a bit of a circus here because there's so many people and so much going on at the same time that I think you cannot come to an ICANN meeting and say, I'm bored. There's always something going on. There's always something to interest you, to catch your attention. And so I think it's important to get involved. We talked to some of your colleagues earlier, and don't hesitate to come up to us. This environment is a bit easy to access. And I'll say in other parts of ICANN, there's a hierarchy and you have to follow a protocol to talk to this person. You first have to talk to this other person who's going to refer you to a third person. And so it's always complicated. It's easy here. So if you come up to us and tell us you come from the African community and you're an end user and you represent an at-large structure or community, I'm sure for the most part, at-large members will welcome you. For those of you who are newcomers, you'll see that you have a green badge. That'll be a key to go anywhere. I think lots of people like seeing newcomers and they like to see people who still join the organization, and there's a hope that you will populate our organization. So that's very important. That's going to open doors for you. I think I've gone on for too long, but I hope to see you again during the week, and I look forward to talking to you. I hope you can participate at our meetings in the future. As you know, our Afro-Lo community is very present. They're very active. I think they're the most active out of the five regions. And as you know, there's people leaving, people coming in, people going to other ICANN sectors. And there's a lot going on at the international level. Of course, you must have heard of the process that's going on right now with the transfer of the IANA stewardship and about all the discussions on the accountability of ICANN. I see Shun Ojodeji, who's there in the middle of the table. And I think about a year ago, he was about 6 or 7 years younger than he is today because he hasn't slept for a year. And so he needs your help. He needs you to help him. A year ago, he had no idea what he was getting into. He felt like, well, I'll try. I'll see what it's all about. And look where he is now. So I hope you can all join us and join Shun and help us be present all over the continent and on all the environments of discussion that are going on at ICANN right now. As he's speaking, thank you, Olivier, for those nice words regarding ALEC and Afro-Lo. I'm now going to give the floor to our Cheryl, to our dear Cheryl Langdonor. As you know, you have before you the three former chairs of ALEC, out of whom Cheryl was the first ever to chair ALEC. She was a pioneer at the ALEC level, so I'm going to give her the floor now.
Much as is, and I will speak in English because I'm an Australian and that is my second language, English. no one can actually understand Australian, and advanced apologies to the team over there. Well, we have the chair, the past chair, and the way, 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 way past chair, or I like to think of it as the father, the son, and the great-grandma. So I want to just stand here with the boys and say to you the importance of AFRALO and the AfriICANN movement that it's associated with is easy, measurable, and demonstrable. Look to your left and look to your right. You are the importance. Whether you're an ICANN old-timer, like me, whether you are absolutely fresh and new to this environment, you are bringing voice. You are bringing valued opinion. You are welcome and able to contribute. You will learn. You will argue. You will probably get a little cranky and you will wonder why Sean is awake at 2:30 in the morning on social network, because I was, as usual, awake at that hour and he's talking to me about street markets for food. So, sleep deprivation is probably one of the things that you will, if you go and get involved in policy development and working groups, which we want to encourage you all to do, because that's a direct influence you can have for your communities, for your people, to the interests that you care about. But sadly, it is predominantly in very unfriendly times. So a few of us have to give up sleep from time to time, or totally switch it and just think you're on night duty, so that the African voice, just like the Asia Pacific voice, can be heard. Why is this important? Because you can't convince someone with superb bandwidth, with cheap and affordable connectivity, why having things in a number of densities, a number of choices of format, right back to, you know, information out on radio and MP3 in some areas, is still important. They will forget about the needs of emerging and developing economies unless we are there at the table and making reminders. Your contribution, as with all regions, is vital. But just like part of the region I am born and bred to, Asia Pacific, Australia and Oceania, where small island states are still quite literally a week's boat trip away from the next island, until we keep reminding people who are sitting in Los Angeles and London and Geneva that it's not necessarily all like they experience, why, for example, to contribute to policy development, which is something I want to encourage you all to be involved with. Why, unless it happens during your business hours, you may not have good enough connectivity to maintain both phone audio connection and the Adobe Connect rooms. So we have to be there. We have to make the effort. You have a superb platform. You have the African strategy. You have leadership in staff and teams and projects that is par excellence. They are some of my favourite people, and yes, I'm biased. But that's okay. We have focused a great deal of ICANN's attention on Africa because we have to. We cannot be a global, internationalised entity and ignore Africa. So we have to help make sure that all your voice is heard. I am proud and privileged to act as a mentor to a number of people in this organisation, and I have two African mentees out of this meeting for the next 12 months. So Isaac and Baran, they are examples of the future, right? There is assistance, there is support, there is friendship, there is concern, there is the ability to just check, should I say this now, and if I say it, how is the best way to say it? From all of us, Olivier offered to help. Alan is always there to help. Our staff is always there to help. But our doors are open, but you have to come in. Thank you.
There's something I have to say. We often talk about, and Cheryl made reference to, people in certain areas having been disadvantaged because of poor communications. Their phones don't always work. Their internet bandwidth is restricted. Cheryl does more work within ICANN than anybody else I know. And also often, as she said, in the middle of the night, because that's when we insist on, the middle of her night is when we insist on, that's not the point of what I'm saying. I'm just pointing out she does an awful lot. Cheryl lives in Australia.
True.
Nominally, she may say she comes from Sydney if she's trying to tell someone who doesn't know anything about Australia where she is. She actually lives, 50 kilometers away, something like that. In a little corner which has exceedingly poor internet connectivity and exceedingly poor telephone connectivity. Her wired telephone works most of the time. Mobile, internet, if she can do it, you can do it. Join us.
Merci, Cheryl. Merci, Alan.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you, Alan. Yeah, go ahead.
You invite chairs, this is what happens.
Non, mais parce que nous, on peut...
No, because we could go on for hours. So there is no problem. That's no big deal. We hold conferences that last for 5 hours at times, and some of you have participated and you attended those meetings. But I just wanted to add one more thing, because back when I started at large, one of the questions was, how can you get involved? Because there were teleconferences, and I thought I'm going to have to phone, and telecommunications are very expensive back home. So you should know, I also speak too fast, so I must think of that. I must bear it in mind. And when I drink coffee, I go even faster. So, no. In any event, you should know that in order to get involved, you first have emails. Most of the work is done via email, and then there's teleconferences that we organize. But a lot of people have the operator dial out to them. So it's not expensive. You can get the call. And it's even possible. I know a lot of you have mobile phones. You can get a dial out to your mobile. And fortunately, ICANN is very sensible and very sensitive to this issue. And so they use a company that calls us. So that operator that they have engaged has a possibility of calling you, of reaching you at almost any African country. So to some of you, I know the problem is, how much battery do you have left on your mobile before you have to plug it in? I know you laugh, but because it's happened to us all, that you were in the car, maybe, and you think, well, the call is going to take another 20 minutes and Olivier is not stopping. I haven't had a chance of speaking yet, and there's only one bar left on my battery. So I have to figure out a way to participate. I'm going to hand it back to Aziz because I think his phone is going to go off any minute now. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Olivier. And thank you, Alan, as he's speaking. I think it is now time to give the floor to our participants so we can hear what they have to say regarding everything that Pierre said regarding Africa, everything Pierre said concerning the Middle East, and everything our former chair said. I'm going to give the floor. Hold on. Yeah. I had to give Tijani the floor before. I'm sorry, he was the organizer of the NGO session. All I'm going to ask of you is that you state your name when you take the floor, to say what NGO you come from before you start, for transcript purposes and for the interpreters as well, because that's important. So first we'll have Tijani, after that Reda, after her Hajel. No, you're no member. And well, okay, and then Wafa. Tijani, go ahead. Tijani speaking. Thank you. So, just for your information, the NGOs we've invited here have a schedule starting tomorrow. They are starting tomorrow because we have only ALEC activities today for them. But then, starting tomorrow, I've set up different activities for them to go see the other constituencies. So that's the program for them. So, secondly, Aziz, I'd like you to give the floor to the new NGOs first and then hear the old members. Thank you. Aziz speaking. We all agree entirely? Is that it? So if we all agree, I'll apologize, because this session is actually organize for NGOs. So first I'm going to give the floor to Mrs. Hadja from Tunisia. As he's speaking. No. So to clarify, for those of you who weren't here at the beginning of the session, I'll repeat, AFRILO has made a great effort, and thanks to a small budget, to a small fund that ICANN gave us, we've invited five new NGOs to train them for capacity building purposes, that is, the purpose of which is to enhance AFRILO so that its NGOs can apply to become ALSs within AFRILO after the meeting. That is why at this time between 8 and 9:30 we intend to train NGOs. So we're going to give the floor to new NGOs first and then we'll think of old members like you and me.
Maître Ager Abdelkefi, membre de l'Ordre des Avocats de Tunisie.
I'm a member of the Lawyers Order of Tunisia. I'm going to start with what Mr. Pierre said at the end of his intervention. As we must be accurate in our efforts, as we lack the presence of ICANN in Africa, its presence is lacking. And it is this lack of presence that forces us to define a specific action plan in Africa. Mr. Pierre focused on a double-edged strategy. So on the one hand, ICANN towards Africa and Africa towards ICANN. So to me, the problem is the following, and I'm going to ask it as a question. What could ICANN do to enhance the position of Africa, whether it be within its organization or in terms of planning of its work? And then on the other hand, what can Africa do to enhance the presence of ICANN, whether through its NGOs or else through its individuals? Because the work at hand, as Mr. Allen said, is here. It's about volunteers. It's individuals who do all the work. But Mr. Allen, let me tell you, the work of individuals must follow a strategy. We must plan the work ahead. And personally, when I came here, I had no idea about what ICANN was. And as a lawyer, I still wonder a bit what it is they do. So, and I'm a lawyer, you see, what can you say of regular individuals? So the work to be done in Africa is huge. So there's this two-pronged strategy that is to be implemented. We ask individuals to participate at ICANN, which is necessary, certainly. But we also ask that ICANN be more present in Africa. Thank you. As he's speaking, thank you, Hadja. It's about asking questions now. That's what we ask of NGOs. So I hope, Pierre, you heard her.
It's okay. The question is about how to include Africa.
Comment renforcer la?
How ICANN? Can you repeat? Hadja speaking. Yes, I repeat. What can ICANN do to enhance the position of Africa, whether within its organization or at ALAC or another constituency, and in terms of a working strategy? I'm being specific here. What specific measures can be taken? It's not merely about capacity building, but also about what Africa can do to enhance ICANN's position among individuals in the different African countries. Pierre speaking. It is a broad subject. ICANN has answers, but I would like to invite you to participate at our session on Wednesday. We're having an African meeting that's going to discuss the African strategy. We're going to give you a report on what we've done so far, and then we're going to discuss on what still needs to be done. There's a lot that's been done, but it's not enough. As he's speaking now, Aisha has the floor.
Peace be upon you all. Anna. Eden.
I'm interested in everything that's local, everything we do on the ground, how we can help
Keifi
of unfavored NGOs. I'm happy to know that Cheryl shares the same environment with me. She works on the same environment as I do. And that's reassuring for me. My project is that in a region where poverty is depressing, but there's no access to technology, we still have to find a way to get African citizens to become members of the internet community and of the technology community. I have a project that we can talk about later on if you want. Thank you. As he's speaking, thank you, Aisha. I suggest we hear all questions and then give the floor to our chairs for answers, Fatima and Moran. Fatima speaking. As my colleague, I would also like to congratulate Cheryl for the work she does. I'm very happy that users... introduce yourself, please, says Aziz. Fatima speaking. Yes, I'm Fatima. I come from Mauritania, and I belong to a network for gender equality and access to ICTs. I'm happy of finding out that users have dynamic representatives, as dynamic as Cheryl, because... back home, we still lack electricity, access, lots of things. And at my NGO, when we put together projects, even the UN Development Program tells us that we cannot work on ICT initiatives where we lack infrastructure. So it's hard for us. It's a struggle, but we have managed to get some funds. I participated at Durban, and I was in Sao Paulo for Net Mundial, and my country was not represented, neither by the government nor by the private government. I was the only member of my country, and that's something that made me want to address my government. I was surprised. I told them, how can it be that at a governance, an internet governance meeting, Mauritania is not represented, neither by the government nor by the private sector. So I think AFLO might help us out in that regard. And even in terms of internet in Mauritania, I think we've gone back. We're going backwards because there's an organization that provides funds for us to work, and then no one does anything. There's no follow-up. There's no applications. So as a militant, I'm truly very worried about that. That's alarming to me. As he gives the floor to Thierry. Thierry Piatkoulou speaking. I'll try to speed up. Thierry Piatkoulou, I represent an NGO, which is the African Observatory on the practice of business, on the business practices. So we belong to the OADA. Those of you from sub-Saharan Africa know what the OADA is and all the countries that belong to this organization. The OADA has a Council of Ministers who decided to open their initiatives to electronics and to the internet, which wasn't the case before. The role of the observatory, of the African Observatory, is to see whether the principles and the rules of the OADA are effective or else if they are deficient within the different countries. So I'm here to further research and studies on electronics. And so I would like to talk to Pierre here and tell him that we are an observatory, which is to say that we have questions to be asked for each country. Each country has to answer to these questions to know what their situation is regarding domain names. But we know for the most part it's about connectivity. The main issue is connectivity. Is it a submarine cable? Is it a satellite? Is it a radio loop? We have a number of problems. So we have a question form to fill in to know what their state is, what their status is. And then we put together reports that we send back to the OADA, to the specific committee dealing with electronics within the OADA. So why shouldn't we participate at AFRILO to see what we can do to improve the situation? So, Pierre, it's not really a question. It's almost a cry for help. So we have an observatory which is ready to get engaged, to get involved, to examine, to analyze, and to make reports and to go on working. Thank you. As he's speaking, thank you, Thierry. I'm now going to give the floor to Wartes from Egypt.
Thank you. I am Mota Sharawi. I am representing NGOs that is important for it to render the service of internet to settlements in Egypt. From my point of view, I think that in addition to NGOs in at large, I think we have to focus on communities, not by forcing them, but through these NGOs that are working hard and have their entrenching activities in these applications. Thank you, Motaz. Shukran, Motaz.
Rida.
We're going to give the floor to Rida and then Aldin. Aldin. She's an AFRILO ALS. So, Rida, you have the floor first. I'd first like to thank Rida speaking. I'd first like to thank Pierre and Fad for presenting the initiatives that they've implemented. I thank the three former chairs, both the two former chairs and the current chair, and ALAC veterans as well. After a brief passage through the fellowship program, I landed here at ALAC. And I recognize that there's a number of questions that are starting to recur, to come back to me over and over again. We need performance metrics today. It's true that the programs are very interesting. They are very interesting, and there's a lot of follow-up. But I think we should get an idea of the number of ALSs per country in Africa and in the Arab region. That's what we need. In general terms, it's about two or three. And it's not glorious. Their participation is not as active as it should be, perhaps. So the involvement of two or three ALSs in Africa and in the Arab region is too little. And as part of a wishful thought here, I'd say we should perhaps try and launch a specific ICANN program as soon as possible to deal with two situations. On the one hand, to try and motivate people to become ALSs, to encourage the organizations in the different countries to apply for ALSs, and then besides everything that Pierre and Fad do, to try and get this mindset into people's lives. So that's what they discover here, the bottom-up process. We generally have this idea that decisions are taken at the top, where although they should be taken at the bottom. As he's speaking, thank you, Rida. We have only 3 minutes left. Balbin, I'm going to give you 1 minute so that we have two left for the rest of the people. Balbin, you have 1 minute. Please, I want to see 1 minute in the backwards count. Balbin speaking. Thank you. I'm Balbin. I'm a lawyer in Cameroon. I've already participated in ICANN once or twice, but I'm always lost. I still am. My goal is to get lawyers involved, and I'm happy to see I have a colleague here, two colleagues in the room. There's lawyers here with us. So my project is to get lawyers interested in the matter, because I say it's all too technical. That's what I find in an event. And once the technical aspect is done with, we need lawyers, because people have to be represented at the courts and lawyers have to understand what it's about. So I have a project that I put together, but as I was saying, ICANN is too complicated for me. I don't know how to go about it. I have formulas for training programs, but who should I discuss this with? I would like to thank our moderator, because he said we're going to organize a training session. So I hope at that training session, I get a chance to understand who I have to work with. Thank you. As he's speaking, thank you, Babine. You took only a minute. I could tell you who to talk to here at ICANN. So he's turned his mic off. We have 30 seconds for each of you. As he's speaking, Wafa, I'm sorry. Wafa speaking. 30 seconds. I'll go very quickly. I want to answer to what was said here. As you know, Africa is a concern to us all. I'm going to be a bit more dramatic than the rest of the participants here. When you see the future of ICANN, when you think of the future of the internet, there should be a certain maturity in Africa in order to get to the objectives that we've set upon ourselves. But in Africa, we don't have the necessary infrastructure. We don't have the networks we would need. And so we're trying to work with registries to get more registries signed. And in that case, I think we should focus on that. You want to have a domain name industry. You have the infrastructure, the contents, the services. But with all that, you can have lots of domain names without using all the resources available to us. And then regarding TLDs, you know, there's a fake culture in Africa which considers TLDs as something belonging to the state. And they're protected as if there was a border. You need a visa to get to the TLDs from outside. And once you're in, you need lots of laws to be applied on you so that you can use them. That's the situation in Africa, in many African countries, in any case. So I still have a few seconds left, I think. So, you said, and you talked about exchange points. I think that's very interesting. We should have exchange programs in Africa between more evolved societies and our countries. We have lots of problems, but we can evolve together in Africa. In Tunisia, we did everything. The route, the DNSSEC, the exchange program, the workshop. We've also been accredited at ICANN, but we're always isolated. We're still isolated because there's no cooperation between us and the rest of Africa. And I think, Pierre, that's your role. You should not only work on exchange programs with Africa and the rest of the world, but you have to open Africa to this reality and get us to exchange among ourselves. Thank you, Wafa says Aziz. I'm going to give the floor to Fad and then Alan, and you each have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Thank you, Aziz. So I wanted to leave this part to the end. I wanted to really quickly tell you a little bit about how we engage with at-large structures within my region, the Middle East and North Africa. So most of the at-large structures within my region are ISOC chapters, and we work very closely with them in hopes that we can actually engage them in the ICANN process. So, for example, last year we had our school on internet governance, and it was hosted by ISOC Tunisia, and they are an at-large structure. We work we are working on some initiatives with ISOC Palestine. We are working with Muna from LITA, who's the latest Apralo onboarded ALS. Of course, for me in specific, when I talk to entities that can actually become at-large structures, for me it's really not just to throw them into the work of the ALAC, whether the APRALO or the AFRALO, and tell them, okay, you guys should become an at-large structure. So at the moment, I'm working with an ISOC chapter, and I'm not going to mention which country. We're trying to gel them. We're trying to have them more involved, have them more understand what ICANN is all about. And actually, once I feel that they are mature enough, I will be tossing to them the concept of actually becoming an at-large structure. For really, for me, it's not just throw in as many ALSs as we can. and make them pile up. No, we are trying to do our homework and getting them more aware of what ICANN is and what they're going to sign up for and what is needed from them, and then they can be more engaged. If you want to know more a little bit about ICANN, I think some of the ways you can do that is really to... So there are many resources on the ICANN website. There is the newcomers session. You can always talk to your regional team. So talking to your regional team is always an advantage. And of course, there is the community. So you have experts like Alan and Olivier and Cheryl who are always willing to talk to you. So there are many ways where you can actually kind of find your way within ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Is he speaking okay, Alan Greenberg?
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to make a couple of very brief comments, but targeted at a couple of the comments were made. We have to be realistic. ICANN's remit, ICANN's scope is very limited. GSE and Pierre's group do a lot that really is outside of what ICANN is really here for, but we know it's necessary to get Africa to the stage where you can participate in the other things. But our scope is limited. We do a lot of technical things. And to be honest, not everyone who is interested in the internet is interested in ICANN. So we're not trying to squeeze everyone into ICANN's forum. It may well be that in any particular case, there is no strong connection, and that's good. You know, we're not trying to pretend everyone should care about us. We're just doing a little bit. We hope it's important. We hope we're doing it well, and it's important work. But it may or may not fit in your particular world. So do take the time to talk to people. But it may be in some cases that there is no intersection, and that's fine. But overall, we are deeply involved in trying to make sure that Africa can participate in our activities when it is appropriate. And I think it's important to remember that. We don't do everything, and we're not going to be everybody's favorite thing.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier, please.
Merci, Aziz.
Olivier speaking. Thank you, Aziz. This is Olivier speaking. I just wanted to go back to internet technology and communication for development. I think this is very important. It's a subject we always discuss at the Internet Governance Forum, at the UN, and we all think it's conceptual, but it's very concrete. It's a reality, and all the more so here, because in order to benefit from the internet, you first have to have users. And here, at that notch, we're users. And in the bottom-up system, users have a voice. They can participate in the decisions that will impact on the future. There's also the matter of local powers. Back in the 90s, how many countries decided to install all the necessary machinery to have internet 24/7 and to have air conditioning and all the rest, and it didn't work? And then I'll say we need local providers. Pierre talked about this, and I would like to reinforce the message. All that adds up to the development. And then to finish, everything we decide here has an impact on the entire world. The IANA stewardship transition, for instance, has a great impact on us all. All the decisions taken will have an impact on us all. So Africans need to participate in that, because the decisions taken might go against your development. They might have a negative impact for you if you don't participate. So get involved if you're not there. We'll never know what the local problems are, and we'll never know what they imply for you. Thank you.
Very much, Cheryl Langdonor, for the record. Very briefly, and to one or two of the questions, I'd love to answer every one of them, but Aziz won't let me. I'd encourage you to look not only at the link that was put in your chat to look at the distribution and numbers of at-large structures, and of course, all the regions are either already accepting or are looking to how to accept individual members as well as these organisational constructs that we have as well. But please have a look at our brand new, very accessible albeit still beta, so we need to have you testing it, website, and you'll find in very graphical, click on the map, look at Africa and see exactly who and what is where. And that would also assist for reaching out for some peer support for those moments when, yes, it can get very confusing with the alphabet soup and that, you know, where is my natural home? You can find peer support. You can find other types of support, but you can only do it if you put in the energy and the effort.
Aziz, just a petit mot pour Olivier.
Ah, perfect. There we go.
Je prendrai ton temps, là.
Aziz. Pierre.
It will be a short intervention. That was Wafa speaking. Pierre speaking. I thank you for your questions. I think they all deserve about an hour or two in order to address them. So I would like to invite you all to join us on Wednesday at 15:45 in the Atlas Room. We're going to discuss the African strategy and what comes next, how we'll follow after the end of our strategy. So I'll invite you there because we'll define what you want from us there. I don't have much time left, so there's not more to be added. But you are part of the internet. Africa is a part of the internet, and we have problems regarding infrastructure. So we need to think about that. I truly invite you on Wednesday. Please come all you merry, and we'll discuss all this. I thank you for having started all the work you've done. Aziz, Tijani, you're the ones who led us to put together this initiative. And then I thank you for having welcomed and having invited the former chairs here. I think it is very important, and you'll understand better if you look at the individual work. It's not merely about what interests you. You have to see what interests every one of you. So Africa can no longer count on aid, on assistance. No one's going to do it for you. That's a mistake. You have to do it yourselves. So get involved. We need help. We need aid, but that cannot be it. Thank you. As he's speaking, thank you, Pierre. So Tijani, to conclude, Tijani speaking. Thank you, Aziz. I would like to remind Aziz, Gisela, and the five NGOs that we will need to prepare a briefing session, maybe at the first coffee break this morning. So don't forget that we need that briefing session. On Monday, we're holding a showcase. You're all invited to join us. It's on Monday at 7 p.m. at the Magic Tent. I don't know what the name of it is. And I truly invite you to come join us because this showcase is going to be very special. Thirdly, we're going to have an ordinary Afro-African joint meeting where we'll discuss the African position regarding ICANN's accountability on Tuesday. So I invite you all to come. Thank you. As he's speaking, thank you, everyone, and we'll see you again for the next session.
La session est close.
Gisela speaking. The session is now over. Thank you.
And the ALAC and regional leaders meeting is scheduled to begin in 2 minutes in this room.
If all the ALAC and regional leaders could please take place at the main table, and if the other people would be so kind as to leave the place at the main table for the ALAC and regional leaders. Thank you.